It is 165 days until the Vancouver municipal election, and this is a special bonus episode of Canby Report coming out on the same day as our latest episode. We decided we kind of needed to do an emergency podcast because shit hit the fan today, right, Patrick?
Yeah, in the most unbelievably large-scale way. Even when I thought that the Greenlight Committee might reject him or what have you, I didn't think that it could have gotten this level this fast and this amount of everybody talking.
So this follows off what we were talking about. I guess I should say I'm Ian Bushfield as well, for those who haven't listened to our show yet.
And I'm Matthew, who missed the Skype call, and so we'll be adding my comments in, you know, intermittently.
What happened this morning is Hector Bremner announces on his Facebook page the results of the NPA board discussion last night, and this followed the Greenlight Committee. And it turns out they decided not to approve his run for mayor. Also, George Steeves apparently also got cut out. We're not sure exactly why. That might be that he didn't get enough members, or it might be that he also was starting to go down that let's be more pro-development way.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting, too, that the Greenlight Committee greenlit him. Like, the what we were all talking about all the way up until this was that the Greenlight Committee could give him a red light. And all of a sudden, they greenlight him, and the board decides to nix him. So it's almost as though, like, the board wanted the Greenlight Committee to do its dirty work for it. The Greenlight Committee said, no, he's, you know, there's no real reason we can't let him run. You know, there's no skeletons that we can find. Gregory Baker did say that, you know, the Greenlight Committee had some verbal things that they didn't want to put on paper that they are concerned about. But that, to me, seems so minor.
Frankly, I have to admire the sheer ballsiness of the action to just say, no, we don't like these candidates, and so they're not going to be allowed to run, even though the committee that we established to create decisions and opinions about these candidates and green-light them, hence the name of the committee, has said that they should be able to run. It's something that I would expect from student union politics. Like, it is a blatant exercise of raw power that technically the board has, but is one of those powers that, you know, shouldn't be used, is not done, and here very much ended up being done.
Yeah, so I reached out this morning to Hector Bremner to see if I could get a comment from him for the podcast to put in this morning's episode, but he spent most of the day dealing with probably a deluge of calls and whatnot and was only able to get back to me this evening. And so let's throw it over to that about 15 minutes that I spoke with him. I talked about all these things, and then we'll come back and break it down. So, Hector Bremner, you've had quite the day. Run me through a little bit of how we got here. So, you're running for the nomination from the NPA for this mayoral bid, and you had to go to the Greenlight Committee on the weekend. And how did that go?
Yeah, we submitted a package. We went through the process, paid the candidate fees, and went through a green light interview, was recommended to move forward, but I guess it was sort of a marathon board meeting last night, and they ultimately decided to not accept my candidate application.
And that board meeting, you didn't get any chance to speak? You didn't get any chance to know about it until, I guess, after the fact?
No, I mean, I knew the meeting was happening, and we, obviously, being a caucus member and being obviously a leading member in the race, somebody who represents a vast majority of the membership, that we would be allowed to be in the race. But unfortunately, we were not allowed.
And so the two competing narratives I'm seeing on Twitter are, on the one side, Mark Marison, who worked with you and is saying this is basically a takeover of the NPA's board had been taken over by people sympathetic to Glenn Chernin's camp. And this is a political attempt to spike you. And then there's NPA President Greg Baker, who's saying the Greenlight Committee gave the all good, but expressed concerns at that meeting. How do you sort of parse those two narratives?
Well, I think the narrative, you know, you can compare them side by side and immediately assess, you know, which one makes the most sense. And the truth of the matter is there's been a lot of media coverage. There's been a lot of clear patterns established here is that people that run afoul of a certain individual become a target of aggressive smear campaigns, and they're very good at them. They use bloggers, they use surrogates, they, in this particular case, I mean, there's no secret that the board of directors had a pretty major shakeup in December when there was an AGM where, you know, out of nowhere, individuals who had all run against the NPA in the last election managed to get themselves on the board. And, you know, their anti-housing narrative has been very clearly established. And, you know, they have fixated on our positive, more hopeful, and I think common sense-based approach, which is to say, you know, when you're in a housing crisis, you can't tax and ban your way to affordability and middle-class prosperity. You are going to have to address the fact that you don't have the right types of housing. You're not building it fast enough. And so, you know, we, while, you know, certainly empathize with those that feel that, you know, there's fraud and, you know, too much foreign investment or all these different issues that, you know, get blamed for the housing crisis, those people that, you know, on our side of the fence to say that it's about common sense supply, you know, there's a very aggressive lobby to tar and feather anybody that says that is they must be corrupt. They're selling out the country. You know, they must be stopped at all costs. And, you know, this is one more example of that. And very unfortunate because we're talking about this rather than talking about solutions that real humans in the city of Vancouver need today.
So you talked about people coming along for this. Do you have an estimate for how many members you signed up and any comparison with the other nominations, other candidates?
Oh, I would say we've probably signed up more than twice as anybody else. You know, we represent a vast majority of the membership. When we got involved with the party last year, there was less than 80 members. And, you know, I was speaking to somebody today and they were saying, you know, this seems like a, you know, a real cut in the sail, releasing the wind that was propelling the NPA forward. I mean, they really had a lot of you know, forward momentum. And, you know, I reminded them that that forward momentum and that energy that they're thinking of is us. It's our team. It's the people that have been standing with us and who got involved last year. And we won a nomination. And then we went on to win an exciting by-election. And we've been bringing forward some exciting ideas at City Hall. And you know, that momentum has attracted people either back to the NPA or people to the NPA for the first time. And I'm very proud of that. And, you know, this isn't certainly just about me. This whole thing boils down to the fact that there are now thousands and thousands of people who feel that, you know, they're feeling dejected. That's what I'm hearing today, and, you know, feeling frustrated. You know, we're just saying to folks, you know, hold on, let's find out what's really going on here and assess the situation. And, you know, but the people are certainly motivated to see this momentum and this energy carry forward. And, you know, I'm just, it's been, you know, a humbling day for sure. And, you know, while I'm disappointed in the decision of the NPA board, you know, I think that, you know, there's still a lot of road to travel still.
So there's a couple possible paths lined out for you, maybe trying to go back to running as a councillor again, starting an independent mayoral bid, maybe even starting a new party, or, you know, going back to private life. Are any of these weighing heavier in your head? I know it's still very early days.
Yeah, right now it's just, you know, you need to assess. I mean, we got involved in this last year. It was kind of amazing. I'm the first person, I always say I'm the first person to admit that it is so bizarre that I'm even here talking to you about this. You know, last year, there was a lot of us that were frustrated about what we were seeing in the city and what we were seeing in politics, and we were not seeing the hope that we were looking for. And, you know, at the end of the day, we said, well, you know, at what point do you go from caring to acting? At what time do you get off the bench and get out into the game and you do this? And, you know, while this has been really tough and there's been some very tough moments in all of this, I find it all, you know, it's been worth it. It's been rewarding. I think we've added something interesting to the conversation. And, you know, despite the you know, very unfortunate tactics of others, you know, and I'm sure it's turning some people off politics and having the opposite effect of that I would be hoping to have. But I'm really hoping that people are seeing that, you know, it is worth standing up and standing out and taking a stance and acting and moving beyond simply caring about the issues, but, you know, taking a role and being willing to tough it out and being willing to have the fight. And, you know, I think if we all collectively, you know, sort of turtle every time things get tough, or annoying even, as something like this, you know, we abdicate the field. And then if we abdicate the responsibility of participating, you know, what's left behind? And that is obviously, we're back to the square one where, you know, it's precisely what was robbing us of that hope and that feeling or sense that government was working for us or that we had the right people in there and that, you know, that this wasn't, you know, simply just an exercise of personal ambition and, you know, red team's going to fight blue team or whatever. I mean, it's I think, you know, past several years have been very tough. You know, people have seen the Trump thing happen in the States and Brexit and a variety of different movements throughout Europe. And, you know, there's just, it's a fascinating time in history and populism and racism and nativism and nationalism, have, you know, taken root in not just right politics or left politics, but, you know, across the spectrum. And it's deeply concerning. And, you know, we collectively, have to decide, where we're going to stand in all this. So, you know, there's options in front of us, and me and all this, but again, this isn't just about me. You know, I have to carefully consider the fact that, there's a lot of people involved in this endeavor. It's not just me. And, you know, I have to listen to them and, you know, I'm carefully considering what I'm hearing right now.
Well, and some of those people who are involved are those candidates who came forward to run under that hashtag Let's Fix Housing banner, that movement, as it were, the people right. who wanted to run for council. And today we're seeing some of those people take steps back from the NPA. Adrian Crook, I think, was first out to say he's not going to pursue a council nomination through NPA, though he still wants to find a way to go towards council. And I think Julian Prieto said similar. I don't know if he's planning a different run. Have you been talking with these nominee candidates, expressing ideas to them, sharing, feeding off? What have you been hearing?
Well, I'm definitely talking to them, and, you know, there's people that are very frustrated and very angry. Like, I it's been a very humbling day for sure. I mean, I've just been getting, you know, hundreds of phone calls and messages and, you know, notes of support. You know, our video that we put out and our statement that we put out is, you know, had quite a bit of interaction. And, you know, there's a lot of people, as I was just talking about before, that feel that, you know, politics matters, that it's more than just, you know, press releases and just sort of, you know, mugging for the cameras and standing on stages and kissing babies. It is really about impacting not just other people's lives, but our lives, all our families' lives. And you know, it's very personal. And when stuff like this happens, you know, I think people that I even sometimes barely know, they take it extremely personal. I mean, I've received notes today from people that I hardly know that are just so heartbroken by the way that this unfolded. But, you know, I still have a lot of hope and for the future. And I understand, you know, the dynamic that's gone on here. And obviously, I don't agree with it. And I think it's unfortunate that, you know, cheap attacks and, you know, sort of like dirty politics stuff, plays an outside role. But, you know, I think that people today is an indication that very clearly that people aren't having it and people are, you know, more resolute than ever. I think that, you know, rather than being dejected or dissuaded, people, are even more committed.
Well, the last thing I'll say, and you don't need to answer this or speak to this if you don't want to, but maybe this is a blessing in disguise, because I hear another party in this last week has decided they're going to have a 1 week span where people can express their interest in becoming their mayoral candidate. If you wanted to say join Vision, as it were.
Yeah, I won't be joining Vision, unfortunately, but I, I'm, You know, but I should, you know, the thing is, you know, when I ran against Vision fundamentally last year in the by-election, you know, there is a lot of us that should be card-carrying members of Vision that were, you know, left dejected of a lot of years of press release politics and, you know, overseeing a housing crisis, an opiate crisis, a homelessness crisis, you know, just a general crisis of the city of Vancouver, a crisis of consciousness of just, you know, are decisions being made with the public good in mind, or is it all just politics? And, you know, I think that, you know, most people today are not really concerned about party brand. And I think that, you know, this can't be underestimated. So, it's an interesting time, Ian. I'll say this to you and to your reader, your listeners, that make no mistake that the political dynamic as we have traditionally understood it, particularly the last 10 years or 15 years, is not there really anymore. There's something changing. It's changing rapidly, and you can see it. And of course, you know, it hasn't happened yet. The election hasn't happened yet, but I you know, my sense of this, my look at this, read of this is that, And I think the by-election I won last year was an example of this. Some people misunderstood that my win had something to do with a split on the left, which is a complete failure to understand what actually occurred there. The two candidates that did well, which was myself and Gene Swanson, were people, irrespective of their party brand, being pretending to be independent, but she was the Pope. But the thing is that we had very clear messages and very clear plans for housing. And I'll tell you right now, this this election, this debate is really about who, to the mass majority of Vancouver, is going to present a clear and incredible plan to address this crisis. And you know, we saw traditional party brands. We saw Vision come in fifth in that by-election. We saw the Greens not do well. And the reality is that if people are not voting simply along party lines, they are truly looking for real solutions. They want answers. And, you know, I think that to underestimate the, frustration and disenfranchisement out there, is, to do so at one's own peril. And that's something that we've been trying to work very hard you know, really listening hard and really, you know, listening aggressively and really trying to understand what people need from us and being willing to do things to, and like we did with Northwest Point Grey or, trying to pre-zone Canby recently, is that we will take the risk, even if it is going to, you know, be challenging and cause some strife in your base or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, you will be rewarded, I believe, if you are going to take strong stances on the issues and you're going to be willing to get the job done, park the politics, bring people together, and just simply take the good ideas. And so, you know, I think that this election will be profound for a bunch of different reasons, but I think that there's a major shift happening out there. And, you know, those that fail to see it will fail to be successful in October.
All right. Thank you for taking this extra time to record again with me, Hector.
No problem. It was my pleasure.
Have a good night.
Bye.
So that was my conversation. What were your first impressions of that?
Well, I mean, he sounds, you know, dejected. Like, I mean, anybody would. But I mean, I think he's a fighter, I guess. And, you know, I'm sure he's had time to think about it and come up with a message. But I did find that he seemed to really have a couple of clear messages in his answers that I thought were really telling for this process and how it went through for him.
Always the consummate professional public relations person, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
In a way. The
thing is that you can never tell, right? Like, it's, you know, if somebody sounds really dejected, you know, they might really, you know, this is the kind of thing that could really hurt.
I imagine it does.
It sounds to me like Hector isn't done campaigning yet. To me, like, if this happened to me, I would not be so even keeled about this if I were going to give up. I would be furious, but Hector knows that that's probably not the way that he's going to win, and so I don't think he's done fighting if he's, you know, displaying this calm, even demeanor.
So he touched on a number of things like you mentioned, and one of the first things is that idea of running afoul of you know, a certain group of people, as it were.
Yeah, that one really, and he doubled down on that a couple of times, and I think he's really right. We've talked about it before on the podcast. This like really toxic Twitter environment. And he said, you know, they'll get surrogates and bloggers to attack you. There's been rumors of that kind of backroom stuff in the NPA for years, but I mean, we also see it on the left too, with, you know, HALT and other organizations that do have some pretty toxic messaging at times.
Well, and it was interesting because after all of this has really started blowing up, I've been peeking around in, like, the Vancouver is Falling Facebook group and a couple, like, even the R Vancouver on Reddit. And the Chernin camp is there. There was a thread a week or two ago of people saying, I don't know if this is appropriate to post here, but, you know, sign up for an NPA membership if you want to get Glenn Chernin in to fight the developers. And I think I didn't give him enough attention or realize the momentum he's been building of it's largely the HALT people, actually, who think developers have too much influence, and they see Bremner as directly connected to that.
Yeah, and maybe you can draw a straight line between, you know, the Gene Swanson movement and the Chernin movement, and just consider it sort of different sides of political sphere. It's, you know, people are really angry. They just want somebody that's going to, you know, vent their anger with some simple solutions. And that maybe is taking hold.
Well, and it's interesting you put it like that, because that's what Hector touches on at the end of his conversation there, is the idea that the by-election was people looking at him and Swanson in the same way. And I think Jen St. Denis had told us this joke as well.
Yeah.
Of the idea that they were the change candidates. So it wasn't he won because the left was split, but it was who had the most popular change platform. And it was sort of between those two, whereas the Greens and Vision were really far back from that.
I don't think that's all that unusual. I mean, Vancouverites have come to the realization or opinion that the options that have been put on the table for them for the last 10 or 20 years, but particularly in the last couple of years as the housing crisis has really taken off, aren't working. And so they wanted to change from the status quo. And both Bremner and Gene Swanson were selling a message that was radically different.
Yeah, I think that really struck a chord with me, was the idea that he said, and I think he's right, is that, you know, him and Swanson had very clear solutions. You know, him and Swanson don't agree with each other on their solutions. They have very clear solutions. And, you know, everybody else had some solutions here and there, some ideas, but they both had very clear ideas, and it worked. Like, both of them did quite reasonably well in that by-election.
And from here, the other thing I think we wanted to pick out of that conversation was the numbers he got behind him. And I've seen him put out to some places, you know, over 2,000, and he talked about thousands and thousands of people, versus the NPA of a year ago was like 80 people. And that's not to say he was the only one signing up people, but for a, you know, local political party, he probably did sign up the most.
And, you know, the NPA is certainly, you know, its problems are that it's an older landed polity. Like, the its supporters have been older people. It's been people that have land. It's people that have theirs. You know, that is not enough to win an election in Vancouver. And Hector was bringing in people that aren't that demographic. And maybe that tent needed that. And, you know, that this could really be Vision, or the NPA really taking a solid high caliber rifle to their foot.
So I called the NPA this morning to vent a little frustration about how ridiculous I think this particular decision is. And, like, I have to express how it not only feels like a, you know, incorrect decision from a purely dispassionate standpoint, but I joined a political party for the first time at the municipal level for this campaign because finally, I saw something that I was, like, remotely interested in and thought could help fix the city. And what the NPA board is telling me is that they are uninterested in my opinion. And that is a slap in the face. And is frankly antithetical to what a political party should be, which is an aggregator of the opinions of its members, not, like, whatever the hell this is.
Yeah, the one last thing I really wanted to think about this is I've never been a huge fan of Hector Bremner. I always found him a little bit too like too strategic by half, that kind of very partisan political operative. I think you called him in our podcast very partisan, but to the brand. But this just feels wrong, right?
Yeah,
because like, it's just subverting the Democratic will. Like, if you think he's wrong, then campaign and run against him. Here is this backroom deal in like the sleaziest of ways. It's one thing, like the left parties, like we were talking about in the last episode, are in doing their backroom deals right now, but they're not trying to preclude, well, I guess Cope is trying to preclude Vision from being there, but they're not trying to preclude.
It's a straight up action, right? It's everybody's coming together and having votes and stuff, whereas this is, you know, a purportedly membership driven process, and the board just says, oh, the membership's not going the way we want them to. Let's put a stop to that.
Well, and it's even more than that, because they're talking about how transparent they are, and, you know, they put the green light papers on the website. But then when the media and everyone sort of pressed Greg Baker about this, like, well, what was the reasoning that they knifed Hector? And all he can say is, well, that's a board decision.
In a tweet, like, you got to get ahead of this. This is a big deal. And you've just, you know, attacked your highest profile returning city councilor. Like, I think it could be said that he's more high profile than either Elizabeth Ball or Melissa DeGeneva. He's their highest profile mayoral candidate, and maybe Glenn Chernin, as we talked about. This is a guy that you don't want. Like, you can't do that without being ready to take a real firestorm. And they were clearly not ready for that.
Well, Matthew wasn't able to be here, but I think he was messaging us on Facebook and just suggesting that this is like high school or college politics level.
Yeah, this is student union level politics. This is you know, the kind of politics that gives, you know, university student unions a bad name.
Oh, hey, look, my point made it into the podcast after all. Thanks, guys.
And this is happening at a municipal level. I don't understand how they thought they could do this. And maybe they'll walk it back. Maybe there'll be some kind of a thing in the next couple of days. I know, you know, we've heard Mark Marison say that things are still settling down, but I don't know how you can possibly walk back from something this big.
So we'll keep our eye on it. Twitter is still a cesspool as people are almost in the lock him up kind of frothing excitement over this. And
that far left that's never been an NPA supporter group are super bouncing up and down for joy over this.
Yeah, so we'll have lots more to say, I'm sure, when we sit down again as a full team. And any final thoughts?
Just I'm still flabbergasted that this that the green light committee said yes and the board said no, and we'll see where it goes from here. And I think I guess the only last thought I have is that, you know, there's all these council candidates backing out now, and that's not a good look for your party.
Yeah, especially when they're all the young, fresh energy.
Everybody under 50.
Yeah. Well,
great.
Make sure to subscribe, do all those things, and thanks for listening to this bonus pod.
Have a good night.